Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Neither rain nor snow nor dead of night shall keep Bud Pod from its appointed tasks.
Nor pestilence nor Armageddon shall keep us from chatting about shit, really. Although I suppose now, thanks to you, we can add mucus to the canon.
Yes. There's a bit of that now. We're expanding our brand in these difficult times.
Yeah, you have to move with the times and shit and vomit. Ah, that's yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
So last week. It's all about aerosol viruses.
Yeah, shit and vomit and piss is the twenties.
Yes, this is a new decade, a new world.
There's the 20-teens. The 2020s, it's going to be all about stock market collapse, contagion, probably a war at some point.
Do you think there'll be a war? Surely everyone's too sick to be a war, to be fighting.
I'd like to think so, but then maybe one side in some conflict somewhere will be like, hey, they're all sick.
I'm very worried about what Russia's getting up to, because we haven't heard hide nor hair from our red cousins across the pond.
Yeah, I think that's actually quite a good point. God knows what that lunatic is cooking up. I was thinking like Russia and especially China as well, what with their love of concentration camps and whatever, they must just be like, hey, you know, people say that our governments aren't nice enough to dissidents, but we're helping them self-isolate in these solitary confinement cells.
people
say we're cruel, but you know, we've managed to keep the entire political opposition really safe in these little boxes where the disease can't get them.
Well, speaking of forced quarantine. Have you seen that Harvey Weinstein has coronavirus?
Yes. Yeah.
The one upside of being put in prison, and he can't even have that. My days.
Well, you know, maybe he just tried to bully and trick coronavirus into visiting him in his cell.
Oh man, the one thing he couldn't drug,
or just bribe or bully or harass. He is like, I know he was trying to play on public sympathy by using like his little walker, and you know, looking all frail and wearing like a suit jacket that's a bit too big for him and whatever.
Yeah,
but it just made him look more evil.
Well, apparently that's not. The walker is not really fake. He is quite ill. I think he's, God, he's got diabetes or something. He's got some shit. I mean, you don't end up looking like that without picking up some health complications along the way.
Oh, look, I mean, stress can wreak havoc on a body. But I mean, like, what's interesting to me is like, it's like how everyone who's arrested for being a serial killer looks like a serial killer.
Because
like Harvey Weinstein, like even when he's all hunched over and thin, like when he was in his prime, which was weirdly only a year ago or whatever, and he was just striding around with a big fat face, he was slightly taller than me and heavier than me. Like he's a massive fucker.
Yeah, really big.
That's
one of the reasons the victims give for how they. One of the many reasons you'd succumb to him, because people go, well, why didn't you just run away? And they're like, he's the size of a whale. He's literally too big to get around.
Yeah, he's huge. His head alone is like three basketballs together or something. It's mad. And
three basketballs.
Just huge. And but then once we've basically all heard the recording where he just admitted to being a sex criminal.
To the lady, the sort of Eastern European sounding lady.
Yeah, she's Italian Filipino, which is an accent only you can practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Italian Filipino.
Yeah.
I guess it's something like that.
But once you hear that, then you look at him and you just go, well, whatever your appearance changes to, you're still, like the serial killer photos, you'll still just seem evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the future, Phil. We're not even on opposite sides of London. We're even closer than that, and yet here we are, quarantined in our homes.
Gosh, I didn't think in my lifetime I would see the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland looking at me down the camera, saying, "You must stay inside." I mean,
yes,
this is dramatic stuff.
I looked into Boris Johnson's eyes and I thought, did any of us ever imagine 10 years ago that Prime Minister Boris Johnson would say the phrase, "Together we can defeat the virus"?
The guy who got caught in a zip wire.
Yeah, the whiff-waff guy.
Oh, man.
If you showed a clip of that to someone 10 years ago, Boris Johnson saying that, and then it cuts to like President Donald Trump going, "Oh, maybe we have some of the best medicine. I don't know. Maybe we don't." And then the person would be like, "Oh, that's from like Time Trumpet, the Armando Iannucci satire." That's like a dystopian future full of, but it's a bit too silly to be believable. It's fucking crazy, man. What's your quarantine routine? What's your quarantine routine?
I've not hit a routine just yet. I'm still just sort of... Well, I get up, I guess. I make some coffee. I make a breakfast. Today I had scrambled eggs on toast.
Yeah.
On the ends of the loaf, by the way. The bulbous ends of a loaf that you can't fit in the toaster. I grilled to... That's what this has reduced me to. I'm grilling the end of loaves so as not to waste any toast.
The end of time, the end of loaves.
I should just throw those ends out the window to the nearest urchin. But now I'm preparing them as toast for breakfast. I mean, food waste is certainly going to go down.
You'd think so. Food waste is going to go down.
Everyone realizes they can't eat enough to get through their stockpiles of fresh vegetables. Like, why are people stockpiling fresh vegetables? We never get to the vegetables in time as it is.
Quick, let's stockpile all these pears.
It's a run on the avocados. It's like, come on, those are good for like half an hour.
I'm amazed that people were even stockpiling Lurol, because obviously it's not a shitting disease.
No.
But secondly, they don't seem to, like, either I am being very careful with my Lurol, but I was looking at these guys and I was like, you can't be shitting that much.
No, well, I mean, I look at our loo roll situation, and we've still not got through the rolls we had before all this kicked off.
Yeah.
So I think people are started realizing, oh, actually, a roll of loo paper actually lasts you a decent amount of time, you know.
Yeah, and also, like, these people are buying, like, 38 rolls of toilet paper, and you just think, you're ill. You're ill in the head.
So what are your priorities that you're getting loo roll before you're getting food? Or...
Yeah, they you don't even have anything to shit out.
Well, I might not have any food, but at least I'm not going to embarrass myself at home alone with a shitty asshole.
Yeah, now I can ensure that I have a generally clean asshole, but not as not as clean as if I just had a shower after every crap.
Which I now have the time to do.
Which we all have the time to do now. Oh my word! That I mean, see, this is the trouble, listeners, is that when we recorded those episodes where we with Adam Hess, where we were saying, "Oh, I'm sure it'll be like SARS or MERS. It'll be bad, but it'll be quarantined." That's the problem with recording two episodes in a row during a history-defining pandemic.
Yes, that is why we are now recording these one a week. Because
yeah,
I don't want to this week say, "Oh, well, I mean, the very idea of." Humanity being taken over by a race of giant alien locusts is ridiculous. And then next week, I have to go, sorry, guys, and sorry, Locust King.
and we have
I jumped
to go.
The gun there.
And then we have to do a really humiliating sponsorship read for the Locust King. And remember, Bud Pod is brought to you by the Locust King. Behold his mighty wings.
But I mean, it doesn't even have to, it wouldn't even be an alien locust race. There's a locust plague in East Africa right now.
I mean, how much do those guys have to cope with? Jesus Christ.
Oops, sorry. God damn it. That was just a ping of a reminder on my laptop, because even in the apocalypse, I have reminders.
Phil, what do you have to do now that there's nothing to do and our industry doesn't exist?
It just says, remember to lie down. it just says, keep at it.
Yeah, keep lying down.
Yeah, but I mean, there's an actual plague of locusts, which is, god damn it. I mean, this is lazy writing, really. As far as story of the world goes, this is.
You can't just copy the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Plague and locusts, not just a plague of locusts, a plague and a locusts.
Yeah, someone misheard it. God misheard us talking about him. I think they want a plague and locusts.
Well, better look out for your firstborn son there, Pierre, because I remember they tend to be next on the chopping block.
Yes, but we haven't had the toads yet. That was one of them, wasn't it? Toads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what, maybe there's a modern... translation of what toads would have been.
Toads. Yeah, maybe.
It must be the sort of American alt-right movement who are characterized by Pepe the Frog.
Yeah,
maybe that's what toads are now, so you have to watch out,
man.
For a resurgent alt-right.
See, we could be evangelical scammers.
It's so easy.
It's so easy.
That's the thing about symbolism, is that... Yes. It can mean anything, and you can look right if you're skilled enough.
Absolutely. I mean, that's half of the reason for the incredible shelf life of Harry Potter.
Hey.
Because people just go like, oh, it's full of symbols. It's full of like, oh, that sacrifice is like this. Like, you know, all those memes where people are like,
right.
God, Dominic Cummings is like Snape. And but that means Boris Johnson is like Quirrell. And then
I see.
if you just have a book with a bunch of characters who are archetypes, you can apply it to literally all of human existence.
Yes. And that's what I liked about Dan Brown's books. Where he literally told you exactly what each thing meant. And there was no ambiguity. You could not apply it to anything else. This statue means this. That person is them. End of story.
Yeah. The angry man was upset.
The clever man looked at the interesting statue. And the interesting statue meant that the jewel was downstairs. The end.
Yeah.
That's a book.
It's like it's written by a robot. You know he wears gravity boots.
What?
When Dan Brown is stuck on a book, and God knows how, but when he's stuck
reading one,
he locks his feeties into a little pair of gravity boots on the ceiling on a beam.
Oh no way! And he hangs upside down like a bat.
Yeah, he hangs upside down to get all blood in his mind.
Ah. I don't think that's how the brain works.
How long into isolation before you try it?
This evening?
Exactly.
How's your isolation going, Pierre? I watched one of your YouTube doodle videos.
Oh, my drawings. Which one did you watch?
I watched the first one where you drew a horrible man trying to pulled something out of his nose.
Oh yeah, yes, the horrible elf man. Did you find it soothing? People have said it's soothing.
I had it on in the background as I unloaded the dishwasher.
Nice.
And it was soothing. I think you're right. It's a bit it's sort of like a grotesque ASMR.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to upload one today, which actually took almost like 2 hours, and it's sort of still not great given that's how long it took, but it's a topical cartoon. If you guys are listening and you don't know what on earth we're talking about, because I have nothing to do, and the global pandemic has essentially removed all of my excuses for not doing drawings and art again. Because I used to be like, well, I'd love to do it, but I have all these gigs and stuff. And now I have nothing to do. So I'm filming myself doing drawings and talking about them quietly to myself like a horrible Bob Ross. And they're all on YouTube. So if that sounds good to you.
But, and they're very comforting thing to put on. Because I always put something on. And usually I put on a podcast or BBC News to keep up with what's going on. But I don't want to know what's going on at the moment. And if you're like me, pop on a little bit of Pierre drawing, and it's something to fill the silence without reminding you of everyday doom.
Although I do mention the plague a few times, but only in a dismissive way, in a fun way.
Yeah, it's quite funny to think of these videos as what archaeologists discover in a few centuries, as the only thing our civilization left behind. It's a guy drawing and going... Of course, seeing as we're currently going through the massive plague, and then the archaeologist is like, a plague, that's what did it.
I was saying to myself, drawing the one yesterday, I was saying, imagine if people watch this in like 2 years and they go, oh yeah, it's like this kind of, it's kind of like ASMR, but he's pretending that there's an apocalypse. He's like, he's like role playing that he's trapped in his house and he's being made to do this. Through boredom, yeah. It's quite interesting. I don't know why he's added that in. But yeah, other than that, my routine, I do the drawings, and I've got a pair of bedroom tracksuit bottoms and living room tracksuit bottoms.
I put on a fresh pair of tracksuit bottoms today, because the tracksuit bottoms I was wearing yesterday, I got some sauce on. Those are the kind of sartorial decisions I'm having to make on a day-to-day basis.
I just try and... Now my living room is the outside.
yes.
And my bedroom is the inside.
Yeah, the bedroom's your house.
Yeah, my bedroom is my house. And so that means that I wear my grey tracksuit bottoms in my house, my house bedroom. And then I wear my like waterproof black tracksuit bottoms outside.
Waterproof? What are you expecting to happen in the living room?
I'm hoping that I develop my own weather. I hope I'm inside so long that I start to create little clouds.
A microclimate.
yeah, exactly. The Pierre's flat microclimate's very rare. A lot of rare plants only exist in that flat. But yes, and as we all know, Phil, the reason that it's that way around is that the grey tracksuit bottoms are lingerie for men.
Yes, they are. They're very revealing. They're soft to the touch. Incredibly expensive.
Yes, yes, and handmade by French people.
Victor's Secret.
That sounds like a thrilling adventure novel set in the Grand Canyon.
Victor's Secret.
Victor's Secret.
Sounds like a Dan Brown novel, to be honest.
Yeah. Victor had a secret. He is the character with the secret. Oh, darling. I don't care that we're in isolation. As long as we're in isolation together. Yes. Yes, just like when we first lived together. All those years ago. Here I am reminiscing instead of feeding you your yogurt. There we are. Another spoon. Oh, you've got it down your chin. Messy. You know, I hope the plague never ends. Our families wouldn't understand. I mean, they never did. I'm sure you'll remember all those letters they sent. I had to keep them from you, of course, but I... Well, I know you can't read, but I read them to you. Felt like it was important to be honest. Once I'd gotten over the impact. So furious. They were furious. You're just a mannequin, they said. Stop feeding the mannequin yogurt, they said. Your house stinks. It stinks. It doesn't even have a mouth hole. It's just lips. Fiberglass lips. I think they were just jealous. Because they don't have fiberglass lips. They've got terrible fleshy lips like mine that will someday decay. But your lips... they're never going to go away. And you're never going to get any sort of disease either. They're probably laughing on the other side of their non-fiberglass faces now. Ah.
Are you watching anything? Me and my sister yesterday, we started the hot new Netflix documentary series, Tiger King.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for that. It looks absolutely fucking insane.
It's crackers. It's absolutely crackers. Just in case you would think, oh no, now is a crazy time. Just before was also a crazy time, so don't worry, because these people are fucking nuts.
Where's it set? It looks very Florida.
It's a few states in America. Basically, it's about the American big cat community of fucking nutters who collect and keep tigers and lions, and it turns out they're all fucking crazy and maybe a little murderous. Maybe the tigers aren't the only killers in the zoo.
Very nice, very nice. I've introduced my flatmate to the TV series of Hannibal.
Oh, yes. I've never been... I don't think I could stomach it. And from hearing what you've said about it, I know I definitely would not be able to stomach it.
It is brutal.
Mm.
But it's brutal in the way that, like, watching an actual medical thing would be brutal, where it's sort of casual and it's... And then we'll just open up the rib cage and you're like... Because for them, it's just like nothing. But
yeah. I watched Silence of the Lambs for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago.
Did you? What do you think?
Well, that was great.
It's good, isn't it?
Some of the script is absolutely brilliant. Some of the dialogue between Hannibal Lecter and what's her name? Nightingale?
Clarice Starling.
Some of those lines are just fantastic. And do you know that Anthony Hopkins won an Oscar for it, and he's in it for about 18 minutes?
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, it's so much about Hannibal Lecter, but he doesn't even say that much.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's the amazing thing, is that almost every line he says is so quotable. Like, when he says to her, "What did Mig say as you walk past?" or whatever, and she's really embarrassed because he said, "I can smell your cunt."
Yeah.
And he just says, "I see. I, for one, cannot." Do you know who's obsessed with Silence of the Lambs?
Who?
Apart from clearly me. John Robbins, fellow podcaster and former, now Radio 5 Live, now XFM, former XFM guy, John Robbins. He knows Silence of the Lambs, I think, off by heart completely.
Wow.
And I saw him...
Well, he's the kind of guy who knows a lot of things off by heart completely.
Yes, that is very much on brand for Brand Robbins. But old Jay Robbins, I saw him do Comedian Cinema Club at the Fringe a few years ago, and it was Silence of the Lambs. And he was getting it, like, if we'd left him alone and not made any other comedians do it with him, he could have just done the film Silence of the Lambs perfectly. But then he was on stage with, like, I think Lou Sanders and stuff, so it was just, you could see him getting frustrated with people not knowing the film. It was great. Oh, man.
I was that person when Comedian Cinema Club did The Dark Knight.
Yes, of course.
I basically drove the whole thing scene for scene.
That's perfect. Listeners, if you don't know, I often refer to Phil as essentially a Batman historian.
I wish I could hold such an honorable title. I've not studied for a while now, though. My knowledge is faltering.
Well, you've got time.
That's true.
We all have nothing but time. How long until your isolation means that while you're looking out the window with a telescope, you see a murder?
I see a murder.
Yeah, like Rear Window.
I mean, the people outside the back here, they seem decent enough. There was a flat that kept having parties real late. I think there's some students moved in. But that's going to end now. So maybe it's not all doom and gloom. Nice quiet nights for me. God, I'm sleeping so long now. I slept about nine, 10 hours last night. I think it's too much, actually. I think I listened to something recently that said, you can sleep too much. It's not good to sleep too much.
I think if you sleep forever, you die.
I always assumed that was how I was going to die. If I didn't set an alarm, I wouldn't wake up, and that would be how I died.
Did you get that thing where if you sleep for like 10 hours or 11 hours, or dare we say even 12, you wake up feeling like sick?
We wake up feeling sleepy, which is the grossest thing.
Yeah, you're sleepy, but I find there's also a kind of nausea where like your body's going, we haven't done anything for ages.
Well, because of my lower back pains, they all stiffen up, and so I wake up pretty stiff and in pain.
Is this your lower back thing from ages ago?
Yeah, it sort of comes in and out. It comes back.
I remember the inciting incident.
Yeah, it's 2013.
Whoa, we're old now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's changed in its nature, and it's come back, and it's gone away, and it's come back, and.
To fill you in on the backstory, listeners, Phil bent down. On the backstory, it's also the pun, which is, of course, the title of David Mitchell's book. Because he started going for long walks as part of something to do with his back. The backstory is that Phil bent over with poor form to pick up his own massive dick. And he wrenched his lower back.
I just felt something's pop. And it wasn't painful, which is the most worrying thing. It just felt weird. And then I got home and sat down and my back exploded with pain.
Jesus.
I don't know how bad it was, you know, because I was sort of writhing for about a day and then things sort of settled down.
A day is too long to writhe.
No, I mean, people who've put their backs out have been immobile for like a week. I think I got away with it pretty well. And like, it wasn't an issue for years. I don't know really. I mean, I've never had a great back. So I don't know if I would have got to this point anyway. Because being tall and hunching, as I always have.
Yes.
It leads to this kind of thing.
Are you going to be an indoor yoga boy?
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to. My sister's got a mat. So I'm going to have to get a mat and do some Pilates on my own, I reckon. How are you going to spend your one allowance of exercise a day, Pierre?
I think I'm going to spend it doing. I'm going to run around Finsbury Park coughing on all the handrails.
As a policeman watches you and goes, well, it is his only one of the day.
Yes,
can't do anything.
Yeah, he's a handrail cougher and there's nothing we can do. I was sort of amazed to watch Boris Johnson last night doing this speech, but I was kind of amazed it took us this long to say, you know what, we can't actually trust the British public not to go to the pub, obviously. Can you imagine someone saying, do you know who'll voluntarily stop going to the pub entirely without pubs actually shutting? The British public.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this because it's for someone like me, it's a nuisance not to be able to go to the pub if I want to. But for a lot of people, it's literally their life. Like, if you live in a rural area, because I've recently stayed in an inn for a tour show. And, like, the people there are locals and regulars, and they're there every day, and that is their community. That is where they go. It is their life.
Yeah.
Like, you can't expect them to willingly stop doing that. It's just not going to happen.
You've got to shut it down. The same just goes for London, where they're not even local. It's just like, well, this is London and whatever, and I don't understand the seriousness of this. And the other thing that amazed me was, oh God, what was I going to say? The pub thing, but also the... Oh God, my brain is rotting, I think, from being indoors so much. I think I'm losing my mind a little bit. I think that's going to gradually come through. The drawings are going to be like a serial killer's diary in a film. Just as you flick through them, they just get worse and worse and weirder and weirder. And they go, around about this point is where we think it really tipped over the edge.
10,000 sketchbooks on these shelves, and in each book...
Getting slowly hunted down by Morgan Freeman, the doodler. But yeah, and the one form of exercise a day, I don't know how they're going to enforce that, but I'm sure they'll find a way.
I mean, I think they're being extremely optimistic that someone like me is going to do exercise every day.
Yes. Well, I'm quite annoyed because I'm still a bit sick, so I'm quite easily tired from...
Man, you've been sick for ages, huh?
Yeah, this is... As we're talking now, I've been sick for... Well, basically 14 days. So it should be going away now, and it is, but it's just... It's leaving really slowly, like someone who's shit at leaving a house party.
Oh, God, yeah.
This...
it's 6 a.m., and they're like... Do you have any beer left? And you go, no. And you think that's going to get them away. And they're like, ah, oh, it's okay. I'll go to the shop. And like, ah! Yeah.
Well, that thing where someone says goodbye to you, and then because they're overly sociable, they're saying goodbye to everyone. And you see them 45 minutes later saying having a goodbye chat. And you have to do that thing where it's like, I thought you were leaving 45 minutes ago. And they go, oh, I still am. Then you have to squeeze past them to go to the toilet. Yes.
Oh, you're immune now, though.
Maybe. I'd like to thank all the pod buds, of which there are so many, who they heard the podcast where I talked about having no sense of taste or smell. And at that point, it was the girl from Frozen and Nadine Dorries, the MP, who, and a few German and Iranian news articles that talked about coronavirus having no sense of taste or smell as a symptom. But then it hit the UK press and the American press. Forbes magazine did a piece on it. And so many pod buds sent me links to the news articles going, you've got it! You've got it!
Oh, wow. That's like neat, because you said it provoked.
Yeah, right. I just said it. I was just talking about it. So they must have heard it, and they must have felt like, you guys listening must have felt like, you know, like in medical dramas when a doctor is like watching a, it's like often, it sometimes it happens in like House or Scrubs. They're watching like a news reporter, and their like partner in the room is like, what's wrong with his hands? He keeps, and they go, oh, wait a minute. And they diagnose him like through the TV.
Yes. Yeah, that must have been very satisfying for our podcast.
Yeah, they must have felt good. And I want to say to you guys, thank you. And it should have felt good. You were being good people.
Dear one at Phil Wang's house, Phil cooks too much spaghetti and has already exhausted a supply that's meant to last him 3 weeks. Dear two, Phil records an episode of his podcast Bud Pod with his friend Pierre Novilli over the phone. He doesn't tell Pierre that he's naked the entire time. Dear 3. Phil's sister is fed up with how much toilet paper he gets through and tells him to just use a plate like a normal person. Dear 4. Phil wakes up and realizes it was all a dream. Dear 5. Phil wakes up from that and realizes that that was the dream and the lockdown is real. He goes back to sleep.
Day 6. Phil's sister manages to find some pasta bowls at a co-op, and he weeps with joy before making himself a bolognese and eating it off some toilet paper.
I keep sort of wishfully thinking I have it, and I'm such a legend that I hardly notice. Because, like, from time to time, my chest gets a bit tight, and my head gets hot, and I go, and sometimes something doesn't smell as strong as it usually does, and I go, maybe I have it. My immune system is so fucking killer that it only ever gets about half an hour to emerge at a time. But, I mean, that is pretty wishful thinking.
Like a prisoner.
Yeah.
Half an hour of rec time. Out in the yard. Yeah, I'm annoyed, though, because otherwise, like, I'd like to think that by now I would be doing, like, a sort of... An amount of push-ups that imply that I'm a guy who's in jail, like Cape Fear. I'm just getting fit to take revenge. You know,
I've not seen it.
Like he's in his prison cell doing loads of push-ups and stuff. He's just getting strong for when he leaves, so he can kill all his enemies.
Oh, nice one! That sounds like a movie I'd like. That's a Count of Monte Cristo, essentially.
Well, no, it's not enemies so much as... You know, you have seen Cape Fear because you've seen the Sideshow Bob episode where he gets out of jail and gets released and hunts down Bart, and they end up on that boat. They end up on that boat going down the river.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, that's basically Cape Fear.
Okay, nice one.
Yeah.
That's something I can finally do, catch up on all these fucking movies I'm supposed to have seen by now.
Yeah, good call. Good. I watched The Iceman the other day.
What's that?
It's Michael Shannon and his frowny face.
Okay.
And he's playing a sort of slightly fictionalized version of a real-life mafia hitman from the 70s and 80s.
Okay, and he goes around hitmaning people.
Yeah, and frowning and not reacting to stuff. And everyone's like, wow, this guy's cold as ice.
Oh, yeah, Michael Shannon. He's got a great face, Michael Shannon.
Man, if you want a guy with a craggly frown...
He's as craggly as you can get whilst still being quite handsome. That's as evil as a man can look before he starts looking ugly.
That's our new scale.
Yeah. The Shannon line.
The Shannon line. He's the between craggly evil and handsome smooth.
Right, yeah. Like someone like... But what's his name? Lee... No Country Old Men, you know.
Oh, Thingy Lee, Christopher Lee.
No, John no. Lee, Jackie Lee.
John Thing Lee
what
something.
What's his name? People are screaming. People are yelling. Yeah.
People are screaming this.
Let's see.
Look it up. Who's the...
Lee Jones? Something Lee Jones, is it?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. He's into the ugly side of Craigley. He's right of the Shannon line.
He's just above Shannon.
Yeah.
And I would say the far end of handsome smooth is probably what a fully clean shaven Chris Evans.
Yeah. Exactly. Completely plain. I think we said before the default face on an RPG video game before you've made any edits.
Yeah, but like default hero face.
Yeah.
Or also, I will say like young. Like 1990s era Leonardo DiCaprio, that kind of smoothness.
Yeah. He's even to the left of Chris Evans.
Yeah, where you're essentially a sort of boy man.
Yeah.
Whereas,
right of Tommy Lee Jones is the guy from Drum Fast Soul, Punch You in the Face.
Yeah.
What's his name? He's got a couple of letters. TR. What's his name? J.R.R. Tolkien? What's his name?
he's in loads of shit. Fucking everything.
What's his name? T.J. Wrinklehead? What's his name?
T.J. Wrinklehead.
I think it's T.J. Wrinklehead. T.J. Wrinklehead, right?
I think it's J.T. Craggles. Yeah, he's starting to get crangly enough to be a threatening and sort of evil.
Yeah. And then who's the right Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons, that's his name. J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. Emperor Palpatine and Keith Richards. He looks quite evil, like an evil pirate.
Oh, he's quite a nice pirate, I think.
But yeah, but that's because we know him. But if you just saw his face looming out of a fishing boat at midnight.
Oh, you know who is very far right on that scale? Mike from Breaking Bad. You know, the bald...
Yeah,
handyman.
He looks like a furious old onion.
Yes, he does. He looks exactly. I don't know if you've read Sin City, but the yellow bastard.
Yes, and he looks quite like him in the film too, because they've given him that kind of upside down teardrop shaped head.
Yeah. But it's some young guy they got to play him in the film. They should have got Mike from Breaking Bad. He looks exactly like him already.
I've been catching up, by the way,
Better Call Saul. Do you watch Better Call Saul?
Yes, I've been watching it.
Oh, it's the best. I love it. I'm watching it week by week now. I'm not caught up. I have to wait every week now.
I've done the same thing. It's really good, isn't it?
Are you all the way caught up?
I think I'm one episode behind.
Oh, nice one. I think it's fantastic.
It's really so good.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen clips of... Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul Goodman. Have you ever seen clips of his stand-up?
No, I've seen him and I've seen his sketch show. I've seen Mr. Show, which is really good.
And he's also the producer of Tim and Eric.
Is he?
The original producer. They sent him tapes and stuff back in the day.
Wow.
And he looked at the tapes because the way they'd done it was that... they'd enclosed like a check made out to them for him to send them for the tapes. Like, you better pay us for these. and he thought that was funny. Yeah, in the 80s and later, he was a stand-up. He used to be able to happen. It's sort of all right, but it's like very 80s, and he's in like a sort of black T-shirt and stuff. It's really funny seeing him do it.
I swear, in the 80s in America, a man had to do one stand-up set, and then he had a TV show. I swear to God. I mean,
they literally talk about it in like those out-of-date How to Make It in Comedy books, where it's like, well, you get yourself your funniest 7 minutes, and you do it over and over again till you get on Carson, and then you do Montreal, and then it's sitcom time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's amazing. And if you're lucky, Tim Allen
was a stand-up. He was a...
Yeah. Tim Allen was convicted, I think, of smuggling either coke or weed on a plane.
No, really?
Yeah.
Sir, we found a kilogram of cocaine stuffed in your rectum.
They put a hand on his shoulder. I don't think so, Tim. He has to go to Wilson over the fence for legal advice. Wilson, what would you do if you were caught with a kilogram of cocaine up your asshole going through an international airport? Well, Tim, that's quite a doozy.
It reminds me of the Dalai Lama or something. I love that show. We watched that show all the time as kids. It was on the Disney Channel in Malaysia. I don't know if you had it in South Africa.
We had it in South Africa. For some reason, the diet of like... post-colonial countries television seems to have been decided centrally somewhere.
Yeah, I know. It was all Disney Channel, Nickelodeon. I don't know if you got Cinemax.
Well, we'd South Africa had, you could get cable, but like we had this stuff on like our own weird TV channels. So we had like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Cosby Show, which now in hindsight is a chilling piece of art. Cosby Show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Simpsons.
Yeah, we had WWF SmackDown after like the local news. It was crackers.
When someone's just riffing a TV channel's vibe. What kind of TV channel are we? He's like, I don't know, put the wrestling on. I don't know. They haven't done that thing like the BBC have, where it's like, oh, I think it's more BBC One than BBC Two.
They've just gone.
It's all on the channel.
But it's just, TV, just... isn't it? Yeah. It's pictures and noise.
Put it on. Yeah.
Put them on in any order. We don't care. It's 5 p.m. on a Friday, and there's going to be a documentary about worms, and then wrestling. And then the news, and then the Simpsons. We don't know.
The Simpsons is always 6 o'clock. It's always 6
yeah.
o'clock.
What was that one? Full House we had as well.
Oh, we never got that.
Yeah, see, we had Full House with the again, in hindsight, a sort of quite creepy piece of art of the Olsen twins.
Oh, that's what they were in. Yeah.
That's what kicked them off. There were like 5 in that, and you go, wow, you were really fucked from the start.
Yeah, not a chance.
They genuinely need to, like Hollywood should club together, right? Do a GoFundMe, and they should buy an enormous stretch of land in Montana where there's nothing except horses and fields and distant misty mountains. And it should just be, if you are in something big and successful when you are under 10, when you turn 18, you should be sent to the big farm.
Sent to the farm upstate.
Yeah.
Is this a rehabilitation?
It's rehab, because they're just going to be like, look, we're operating on the assumption that you need to go to rehab anyway by now.
it's rehab,
but also it's like it's the way they treat like prize horses, like they don't race them to death, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
And also, like,
so you're saying we should turn Haley Joel Osment into glue.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. All the Brady Bunch glue.
the sticky bunch.
Well, this Brady Bunch branded glue seems like a kind of irrelevant product launch to do with the brand. It's like, because basically a lot of those child stars disappear from fame until they're 30 and they're cast in a gritty crime drama anyway.
Of course.
So why don't we just formalize the process? And it's like, you're allowed to leave the farm once you've spent time at the lovely, lovely, relaxing farm, going to university or doing high school properly, and just calming down. And then we're going to release you back into Hollywood at the age of 30 to 31 when you've got a bit craggly, and you can play the stalker in an episode of Law & Order SVU.
So yeah, essentially like they're a big cat. A big
cat exactly.
That's been rescued from a crazy collector.
Yeah, a crazy circus cat, and you will be treated as such.
I think that's... Yeah, let's do that. Once this is all over, we should put all our efforts into opening this farm.
Into the Montana farm, the Montana Rehabilitation Center for...
Dirty little boys and dirty little girls. Shall we do some correspondence?
We must.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Correspondence. Go and re and spawn and dance. Oh.
Correspondence.
Amy gets in touch.
Amy. Never lamey.
No. Hello again, Tweedlebum and Tweedlepee.
Yes, we've had her recently, haven't we? Amy was in touch last week, wasn't she? Well, in touch. We read one of Amy's messages last week.
Maybe it was last week. She says, I sent you a poopy tale a few weeks ago.
Ah, okay.
And she says, but on my walk home today, I remembered a solid gold turd of a story that I'd meant to send you the first time I got in touch.
They can repeat on you.
Yes. So she says, our building has about 150 flats in it, and there is a Facebook group for residents.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly used for selling old furniture or trying to find parcels.
Yeah.
However, every now and then there's something more interesting. About a year ago, I saw this post. I've sent you the screenshots. So, this is from the admin. As in the admin of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I've screenshotted the best comments separately to try and convey the tension and anticipation I felt waiting for each new update. And so, suddenly, someone posts this, right? The administrator posts this on the group. Hi, everyone. With regards to what happened last night, I think we can all agree that the act itself was a vile and disgusting thing to find in the property, and no one
when something is described only as the act, you know it was disgusting. Caught in the act. Ugh.
It was a vile and disgusting thing to find in the property, and no one should feel scared in their own home, as some people were.
God. How big was this thing?
Yeah, well, I know many of us have contacted, I think it's the building administrator, oh yes, with no response yet. Surprise, surprise. Bit of banter there. But hopefully the waste and the culprit can be dealt with appropriately and swiftly. Can we all please try and keep a civil and respectful tone when discussing things? We can all feel strongly regarding what happened and how the act itself is disgusting. However, please refrain from using language that can dehumanize and degrade people.
Whoa.
Oh my God. There were about 5 comments expressing disgust before someone actually revealed what happened. So here's a comment. Wow. So this guy took a dump in the corridor. And this person has asterisked out the 2 internal letters of dump.
Wow, okay.
What? As if dump is a swear word.
Has this person just assumed all 4 letter words have to have at least 1 letter asterisked out?
like he's asterisking out the A and what and stuff.
Well, how do we know it's dump? Maybe it's damp.
This guy took a damp in the corridor. Wow,
which is
so this
word
guy
for a wee.
Yeah. A drip?
A drip, yeah. That would be a wee, yeah.
So this guy took a dump in the corridor. Censored, then clearly fell into his own, I'm assuming, crap, because he censored that again. C*P. He didn't fall into his own coop, I don't think.
Camp?
Fell into
his own camp?
Wow, so this guy took a dump in the corridor and then clearly fell into his own crap and dropped his wallet next to it before leaving the scene.
Oh my God, he left his identification. That's like the tutorial level of a detective video game. What evidence do you see? Maybe there's a wallet next to
the... He's like Pooh Zorro.
Ah, his calling card.
Yeah, he's gone, you tell everyone you know that it was Jimmy Knuckles who shat on this carpet.
The only one person whose calling card is also their debit card.
And he needs it back. So, wow, this guy took a dump in the corridor, then clearly fell into his own crap and dropped his wallet next to it before leaving the scene. And then there's an emoji here, which is the thinking on the chin hand emoji.
Wow.
The emoji.
Wow. It's always funny to see a flippant use of an emoji in such a serious and disgusting situation.
Well, see, now he gets philosophical, this guy. So he does the thinking emoji and then he says, this person must have woken up wondering what his life has become, ... And then he adds, I didn't think this was possible. And then we get a reply from someone who says, he didn't leave the scene, he was sleeping in the corridor. Imagine my delight, continues Amy. Someone took a shit in the corridor, fell in the shit, dropped his wallet, and then fell asleep.
I don't get people who take a shit when they're out of it. I understand vomiting because you can't stop that. But and maybe even pissing myself. But even then, you always have the wherewithal to find a wall or a little dark corner. But to be so out of it, you go, I can't do anything but take this dump right now. I can't yes. picture it.
It's so weird.
It's so extreme. It's so bad.
Yeah, that's such a funny thing to say. It's so bad.
That's all that can be said. It's so bad.
It's so bad. That's so like direct and clear that it's kind of charming. That's so funny. What was like? It's like you've just left the corridor with a sleeping, shit-streaked man and come out and gone, it's so bad. It's so bad in there.
What he's done, it's so bad.
So the comment, then someone says, I agree with you, so-and-so. I'm sorry, but I can't be tolerant at this stage. I can't be tolerant at this stage, they say.
At this stage.
At this stage of all stages.
The post shit in the corridor stage.
I have a shit next to my door.
Not this stage. This is a stage too far.
Yeah, this is a stage too far. And I have a 7 months old daughter.
Aww.
Who presumably is doing her own shits.
Yeah, so and this is setting a terrible example for her.
Yeah, how can I convince her to stop shitting anywhere other than the loo if there's a grown man asleep in the corridor in his own shit?
How am I supposed to look my child in the eye and tell her not to shit in the corridor when she sees people out there shitting in corridors?
People like this clumsy man. They continue, there is also another child living in front of me.
In front of me. That's such a strange way of putting it, in front of me.
It must be English as a second language. There's another child living in front of me. Every day this child is living right fucking in front of me.
I wake up and there it is in front of me.
Living. no contractor has been here yet, they continue, and the person who did it is simply ignoring it. That's a bold move, to just ignore your own corridor shit.
But surely they know who it is if this person has left their wallet.
Well, this person says, I'm pretty sure he knows what he did. The police made him aware last night. The individual was sleeping in the corridor and the police walked him home. The administrators probably know who this guy is. They said they will take action. The area was cleaned today around 6 p.m. That is too long to take to clean it.
So from the morning till 6 p.m.?
Yeah. Well, then Amy continues saying, I don't know what's happened to the drunken shitter, but the carpet still hasn't been replaced.
Oh, it's a carpet.
Oh, God. Before I sign off, I would like you to know that every time I'm sad or annoyed, my husband now says, bin bags, wife, bin bags, life. keep on jacking it, Amy.
Bye, what Amy. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a lovely story. That's funny.
We'll do this one more correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
From Leilani.
Leilani!
What a name, that's beautiful.
Very funny.
Assuming I'm saying it correctly. Leilani, very funny. Dear Spill and Spear.
That's cute. That sounds like a nice gastro pub.
Spill and Spear, yes. They do an unusual version of a hog roast.
Yeah. It's got a miso glaze.
Yeah, they've thumbed a load of star anise into it. dear Spill and Spear, love the pod. As a zoologist by training,
the
study of zoos. as a zoologist by training, your podcast prompted me to ponder the great diversity of excreta within the animal kingdom.
Yes, this is what we have always wanted to achieve.
That's right.
We are the who's the guy who did Cosmos?
Patrick Moore.
No.
Wasn't it Cosmos? Sir Patrick Moore? He did The Sky at Night. What's Cosmos?
Cosmos.
The American one.
Yeah. Carl Sagan. We're the Carl Sagan of Pooh.
Yes, we're the Carl Sagan of Pooh. Phil, they're going for the American version. I went for Sir Patrick Moore.
How will we ever get on?
And I only remembered who Sir Patrick Moore is because, do you remember Weeble Stuff, the Flash cartoons?
Absolutely not. Weeble Stuff.
Yeah, it was like a kind of talking egg.
They
did little Flash loops and songs. You will have seen some of their songs.
Okay.
Magical Trevor.
You're just saying words to me now.
Yeah, all right. Well, they did a whole song about Patrick Moore playing the xylophone. And now that's going to be in my head all day.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So she's looking into the diversity of excreta within the animal kingdom. During my studies, I have learned that spider poo has the appearance and consistency of correction fluid.
Correction? Oh, Tippex.
Tippex, yes.
Ah,
other correction fluids are available.
So if you run out of Tippex...
get a spider to shit all over your homework.
Yeah, just look for a spider who's had a bit of food poisoning.
Or a drunk spider who's dropping his wallet. I always thought that Tippex was quite fascinating because it was like, well, I better cover up my mistake with this massive blob of paint.
I know. Surely this is worse. This is much worse than just crossing it out, isn't it?
Yeah, unless you wrote like, Dear Cunt instead of Dear Alan. And you go, oh, shit.
But even then, if Alan really wanted to know what you initially thought of him, he could just scrape it off.
Forensically, yeah, that's true. So spider poo is like correction fluid, while praying mantises produce perfectly spherical little shits.
That must be what they're praying for.
Please let it be circular again.
Please, Mantis
please.
God.
Make my
poo the roundest poo in the jungle. Please.
Oh, please. I can't cope if it's going to not be a circle. Please.
Sir, what are the praying mantises praying for? Never mind.
You'll find out when you're older. You'll find out on the farm. Leilani continues, I've been racking my brain for a whole 15 minutes trying to decide what is the strangest animal poo, but would appreciate your expert opinion as I'm honestly stuck. So, she gives us two candidates.
Okay.
One of which is exotic, one of which is less exotic, I would say.
Ooh, a lovely range.
Yes. Candidate number one, sooty beach scale insects.
Sooty beach scale insects.
Yes, and I think sooty beach might be a kind of beech tree. It's beech with a double E.
Oh, okay, that helps. Sooty beach scale insect, okay.
Or maybe beech is the tree and these are sooty, the sooty version of the beech scale insects.
Yes.
So they live under the bark of beech trees.
Fun, lovely, cozy.
They feed from the fluids of the tree.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, and they excrete the excess sugar. So it's called honeydew, she puts in quotes.
Wow, which okay.
Is a good bit of marketing there.
it's not sweet shit, it's honeydew.
It's honeydew. So they excrete the excess sugar, or honeydew, out of long fibrous anal tubes. These sugar shit straws are so abundant.
Yeah, you know what anal tube sounds a bit like?
A very precise jazz musician. Oh man, anal tubes, man. You could try to get that guy to improvise. He wouldn't.
He was very specific about the songs he play. Yeah.
He would only play jazz if it was by notation.
Cleanest trumpet on the scene, anal tubes.
You could eat your dinner off his trumpet. And if you tried to, he'd have a massive panic attack.
Anal tubes.
Oh, fucking hell. So they feed on the fluids of the tree and excrete the excess sugar or honeydew out of long fibrous anal tubes. These sugar shit straws are so abundant in New Zealand's southern beach forests that they form the basis of an entire ecosystem.
Wow! And they're full of sugar, so they're full of energy.
It's a key energy source for native birds, other insects and lizards, although in recent decades, invasive wasps have disrupted this food web by monopolizing the honeydew. Is there any context in which wasps aren't a piece of shit?
God, they're the mafia of the animal kingdom coming in and
the only thing I know that even eats wasps is badgers.
Wow, we don't think
I think
them
they
enough.
Eat wasps. Yeah, that's right. We should stop gassing them, or we should keep doing it. I don't know enough about bovine TB. Anyway, candidate number two, right? So that's candidate number one. That's a pretty strange animal poo.
Yeah,
sugar tubes.
Yep. Anal tubes. Yeah.
Anal tubes. Candidate number two, birds are everywhere, and we just accept that their acid droppings corrode car paint.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow, they're acid.
They're very acidic, I think, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, so and also it's weird that their piss and shit is just one cloaca thing firing it out.
They're essentially dropping chemical bombs.
Yeah.
They're napalming us all the time.
They're napalming cars.
Gosh. And so what is the competition here for the strangest poo?
Yeah, so I think what Leilani's going for there is that she's found like a poo that is strange in its exoticness and the fact that it's basically made of sugar.
Mm.
Whereas she's countered that with a more like there is wonder all around us kind of option. Of like, if you think about it, it's only just because we're used to it that things are covered in acid bird shit all the time.
Of course.
Yeah, so those are our options. What do you think?
Well, I just for the sake of variety and interest, I'm going to go for the sweet anal tubes.
I think we have to go for the sweet anal tubes because as much as she's... I assume Leilani is a lady.
Mm.
I don't know. Leilani's point about... Yeah, Leilani's point about the birds... is a good point. However, there are loads of other kinds of birds and things like birds that do shits like that, whereas there's only one tube of sugar that's also a poo.
yeah, exactly.
You know? It would be different if it was like, well, there's a beetle in New Zealand that does these long anal tube sugar poos, but, you know, my chihuahua does logs of pure glacé cherry sugar out of its arsehole.
Exactly. For pure uniqueness, it has to go to anal tubes. I mean, because, like, I shit acid sometimes. Oh! if it's been a particularly big night.
How diabetic... Like, you can tell if someone's diabetic if they have sweet urine.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was one of the singers, I think, with anal tubes.
Sweet urine.
Sweet urine. How unbelievably diabetic must you be if you have really a sugary poo?
Yeah, God.
Just Nutella.
Yuck. Horrible.
It is yuck.
The doctor's like, wow, I'm afraid it's got to your poo.
You're so full of sugar that your poo is frankly delicious. Right, well that's
the good
that's
news
pretty
is
much...
you're self sustaining now.
Yes, you're the first loop. Right, that's the podcast. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening, guys. Hope everything is going all right.
Do recommend us to anyone who you think is going bored out of their fucking mind in quarantine.
And do watch Pierre's YouTube doodles.
Oh, yes. If you like, if you imagine the voice I'm using now, but quietly talking about why I'm drawing a horrible egg, then you're going to love it.
I highly recommend it. But until next week, have a good enforced lockdown.
Yes, have a good sort of World War II experience that we can use to belittle our own children's generation.
At last we have something. At last!
Yes! Yes, we got two recessions and a plague. Okay, bye everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.